Hi there, this is the Romance Program. I'm volunteer Jeannie Yost for Sun Sounds. I've got one story coming up this hour from True Romance Magazine. It's called The Grandparent Gripe. Here's the story. Mom, Megan said the second I answered the phone. Jason and I are coming over tonight. We have some news. News, I said. Did Jason get the promotion? I'm not saying, she replied with slyness in her voice. You'll have to wait until tonight. I knew whatever the news was, Megan was happy about it. However, if she was about to tell me he got a promotion, I had mixed feelings because it meant he'd likely be transferred in a year or two. I didn't want my daughter to live too far away because we'd never been separated by more than a few miles since she was born. Family meant everything to me. I called my husband, Stan, at work. What do you think they're going to tell us? I asked. I have no idea, he replied. Don't worry about it until they tell us. Yeah, you're right, but that didn't stop me from fretting the rest of the afternoon, playing all sorts of scenarios in my head. I was at the door the second I heard them pull into the driveway. Megan chuckled when I flung the door open and told them to hurry up or I might pop. Okay, Mom, she said as she gently pushed me into a chair before linking her arm through her husband's. Now for the wonderful news. Jason and I are going to have a baby in 7 months. I suddenly felt an overwhelming rush of love and gratitude. There was no way I could remain in that chair. I popped right up and gave both Megan and Jason a huge hug. Then I took a step back and looked her up and down. You look the same. Are you sure you're pregnant? I'm only 2 months pregnant, she said as she giggled. Just give it some time. We spent the next hour chattering about due dates and what kind of delivery she wanted to have. Then Jason glanced at his watch and said, "We have to go now. My parents are waiting for us." After they left, I turned to Stan and sighed. "I am so glad we're going to have another baby in the family." He shook his head. "Try to remember this isn't your baby, Beatrice. We're just the grandparents." Megan was my only child, but not by choice. Due to complications during childbirth, I was warned not to get pregnant again. I'd always dreamed of having a house full of children, so that news had come as quite a blow. Megan was a beautiful child, though. Stan and I doted on her, giving her everything she needed and almost everything she wanted. She took ballet, piano, and art classes, and all that was before she even started school. Throughout elementary school, I was the class mother and the Girl Scout troop leader. Wherever Megan was, I could be found. And now she was pregnant. Hallelujah! Stan and I were still young and healthy enough to be able to enjoy all the phases of our new grandchild's life. The only problem was Jason's parents. Not only were they quite a bit older than us, they'd already interfered in Megan's and Jason's marriage, mostly related to financial things. I always managed to keep my mouth shut because I didn't want to make an already difficult situation worse. After all, Megan was stuck with them. As Megan's pregnancy progressed, I delighted in watching her belly grow. I perused the sale pages in the newspaper and called her whenever I saw a great deal. When she was about 6 months along, I took her shopping. We picked out a new crib and a changing table, and we started a list with the baby store's gift registry. This is starting to seem real, she said as we left the store. I grinned as I hugged her. It's very real, honey. You're about to become a mommy. Her forehead crinkled. What if I'm not very good at it? Don't be silly, I told her. You'll be wonderful. How come I feel like I might be a miserable failure? All new parents feel that way, I reassured her. It's fear of the unknown. I'm sure it'll take you a while to get into the swing of things. But once you have it all figured out, I have no doubt that you and Jason will be great. Thanks, Mom, she said as she visibly relaxed. Keep telling me that, okay? I thought everything was fine, but the very next day, Megan called me frantic. Jason's mother told me we got the wrong kind of crib. She said, she says we shouldn't have bought baby furniture on sale because there's a reason the store is trying to get rid of it. She says there's something wrong with it. I don't know what to do. Wrong kind of crib? I was puzzled. What's wrong with it? For one thing, she said it's probably junk because it's cheap. And she said babies should have furniture that matches all our other stuff. Dark stained wood, not the cheap white painted wood. My internal red flag shot straight up. What do you think? I asked through gritted teeth. I thought what we picked out was cute, but now I'm not sure. You have to be happy with the furniture you pick. Does Jason like it? He didn't say anything until he talked to his mom. Now he wants to return it, let her pay the difference, and get better things. I tried not to let my annoyance come through. I swallowed hard and hesitated before I finally said, "Do whatever you need to do, honey. It really doesn't matter. How dare my daughters-in-laws intrude? They had a way of making everyone around them feel inferior." "Don't start that," Stan said when I told him about the conversation with Megan. "If they want to give the kids expensive stuff, let them. It's their prerogative as grandparents." "But isn't it ours to get what we want them to have, too? This isn't a competition," he replied. I knew he was right, but that still didn't stop my feelings from being hurt. I tried not to let it show, but Megan saw right through me. "Mom, don't worry about it," she said. "Jason and I are fully aware of what's going on. He says his parents have always done that, even when he was little. When one of his friends got something new, his mom went out and got him something even better." "I bet he liked that," I said, unable to keep the sarcasm from my voice. "Actually, no, he didn't. He said it was embarrassing because his friends thought he was a snob." I sighed. "Okay, honey, I'll try not to get upset. Thanks." After our conversation, I noticed that Megan didn't bother to show me anything else Jason's parents had gotten, that they'd gotten them. As much as I knew she was trying to keep my feelings from being hurt, I was dying of curiosity. Stan chuckled. "Leave it alone, Beatrice," he warned. "You're just asking for trouble." And he was right. However, each time I found something new for the baby, I checked around and made sure it was the best money could buy. Even when I knew it was something that would only be used for a short time, I splurged simply to prevent being outdone by Jason's parents. "Mom, this is silly," Megan said when I handed her a sip cup that was obviously more expensive than the average training cup for babies. "I'd rather have a couple of less expensive ones rather than one of these. Plus, this isn't dishwasher safe." I rolled my eyes. "Then take it back and get what you want," I told her. She just looked at me for a moment before nodding. "Okay," she said slowly. "I wish you'd be yourself and stop trying to compete with Jason's parents. I've already told you that it's not necessary." "I'm not trying to compete," I said. "I just want the baby to have the best of everything." "Right," she said before she snorted. After that incident, I decided I'd be better off getting gift cards so Megan and Jason could pick out whatever they wanted. Apparently, Jason's parents found out. I just happened to be at their house one afternoon, right after Megan's mother-in-law had visited. I saw an envelope on the table. My curiosity got the best of me, so when Megan excused herself to go to the bathroom, I reached down and pulled out the card. Inside was a gift card for double the amount of what I'd last given them. My blood boiled. I quickly put it down before Megan returned, but she could tell something was wrong. "Are you okay?" she asked, her gaze darting from me to the table. Realization flickered across her face, but she didn't say anything. I'm just fine, I said more abruptly than I intended. "Mom, please don't." Suddenly her face stilled before a smile crept over her lips. "Give me your hand. I want you to feel this." She gently placed my hand on the top part of her abdomen. When I touched her, the baby issued a nice, strong kick that instantly lightened the mood. "When do you find out whether it's a girl or a boy?" I asked. "Next week," she replied. "I'm a little nervous about finding out." "Why?" she shrugged. "I guess it's just another step closer to being a mom, and this whole thing has been so overwhelming." "You'll do just fine," I reassured her. "I have no doubt that you and Jason will be wonderful parents." She frowned. "I want to, but there's so many things I never thought of before." "Like what?" I asked. "Well, first of all, I'm getting a lot of conflicting information. The doctor says it's best to breastfeed, but Janice says I won't be able to control the amount the baby eats. And all the current baby books say to lay the baby on its back, and Janice says babies are supposed to be on their tummies." Once again, my blood boiled. How dare Janice interfere with the advice the pediatrician was giving my daughter? "Don't listen to her," I advised Megan. "Your doctor knows best." She sighed. "There's other stuff, too." She struggled to her feet and motioned for me to follow her. "There's something I want to show you." I followed her down the hall to the nursery, where she paused. "What is it?" I asked. "Brace yourself." When she opened the door, I gasped. The room was filled from one end to the other with stuffed animals, boxes of baby toys, and stacks of clothes. "Where did you get all that stuff?" I asked. Janice was in a shopping mood. "This is ridiculous," I said. "Who does she think she is?" Then I caught myself. "Sorry, I shouldn't have said that. I'm sure she's just trying to help out." "Yeah, but where am I going to put the baby?" "Why don't you box some of this stuff up and put it in the garage? You can bring it out a little at a time. It'll be like having your very own baby store right here in the house." "I guess that's what we'll have to do." A little while later, I left Megan's house and headed home. Stan was in the living room watching TV when I walked in. "How's Megan?" he said. "She's doing great, but we need to talk." Stan put the TV on mute. I told him all about how Janice and Frank were confusing Megan and bombarding her with gifts for the baby. He sat there quietly and listened as I voiced my own frustration. Finally, when I wound down, he snickered. "Don't tell me you wouldn't be doing the same thing if we had unlimited money and you thought Megan would listen to you." "I'd never do that," I snapped. He lifted one eyebrow. "The times I've gone shopping with you for the baby, I've had to put stuff back. That wasn't anywhere near as bad as what Janice is doing." "Maybe not, but it doesn't matter. There are a lot of degrees of overdoing the grandparent thing. Why don't we try not to worry about it?" "I can't help but worry," I said. "Look at it this way," he explained. "Buying gifts might be the only way Janice and Frank know how to show their love. We'll be different. We'll be the ones who take the grandbaby to the park. I'll tell stories and you'll babysit. Can you imagine Janice taking a baby for an afternoon or Frank wiping baby spit up off his perfectly starched collar? Well, no, I conceded. Then there you go. I have a feeling this will all work out just fine. Maybe he was right, but it still didn't make me happy to have Janice and Frank trying to outdo Stan and me. We were financially comfortable. They were filthy rich. I forced myself not to worry because there were plenty of wonderful things going on. First of all, we found out Megan and Jason were having a girl, and second, she was healthy and thriving. To top it off, they realized they'd miscalculated on the date of conception, and they told us to expect her at least a week before her original due date. Then Megan went into her nesting mode, which was quite comical. She'd always been a little messy, but now she was meticulous in her house cleaning. She'd even cleaned out all the gifts in the nursery and had everything organized. All the crib sheets were washed and put on the tiny mattress. The baby clothes had been laundered and put away. Megan had even prepared half a dozen casseroles for times when she didn't feel like cooking and stuck them in the freezer. "Slow down, honey," I advise. "You'll send yourself into early labor." She just laughed and shrugged me off. That would be a good thing. I'm so ready. The very next morning, I got a call. "Mom, I need you." "Okay," I said. "Want me to bring lunch?" "No, you don't understand. I need you now." Panic rose in my throat. What happened? Did you fall? Want me to call for an ambulance?" "It's time. My water broke." "I'll be right there," I said. "Call Jason. He's out of town. We thought we had another couple of weeks. I'll be there as fast as I can. In the meantime, call his cell phone and leave a message." "Hurry," she begged. "The contractions started right away, and I don't know how much longer it'll be." I was at her house in 10 minutes flat. As I pulled into the driveway, I saw her standing there at the storm door, suitcase in hand. We got to the hospital in the nick of time. Bree was born a half hour after we arrived. Jason had gotten Megan's message, and he called her frantic with worry. "I'll be on the next flight home," he said. "I can't believe this happened so soon." Jason's parents arrived at the hospital later that day, right before Jason came. Janice had a bundle of Mylar balloons in one hand and a basket filled with stuffed animals in the other. Frank was right behind her with a white envelope. They each leaned down and gave Megan a hug. I watched Frank fidget with the envelope until Janice yanked it from him and plopped it down on Megan's belly. "This is for Bree's bank account," she said. "I presume you've opened one by now." Megan glanced at me and then turned to face Janice. "We haven't had a chance to do that yet," she admitted, "but thanks. I'll use this to open it." Janice reached over and snatched the envelope back. "Never mind, I'll do it." Jason walked in at that moment, which broke the awkwardness immediately. "I'm so sorry I wasn't there, honey," he said as he kissed Megan. Then he turned to me. "How's my little girl doing?" "She's doing great," I replied. "The nurse is bringing her here in a few minutes." I expected Janice and Frank to hang around to see their new grandchild, but they didn't. Instead, Janice made a big deal of having to go to the bank to open the account. I was glad to see them leave. Since both Megan and Bree were doing fine, they were released from the hospital the very next day. Frank and I went over to help Megan and Jason, and I expected his parents to do the same, but they didn't. My mom was never all that great around babies, Jason explained. Stan helped Jason move a few things around to where Megan wanted them while I prepared a nice meal for everyone. Bree was a little sweetheart. She slept in her crib long enough for Megan to eat. However, the instant she began to whimper, all four of us adults jumped to our feet, which made us all laugh. It's amazing how one tiny creature can affect so many people, Jason said in awe as he brought Bree to Megan. I think she's hungry. I cleared the table, washed the dishes, and started a load of laundry while Megan nursed Bree. Then I sat down on the couch so I could have a turn holding my precious little granddaughter. The whole thing was surreal and even more wonderful than I'd ever imagined. When I could tell my daughter was getting tired, I told Stan we needed to leave. I hugged my daughter and said, "If you need me, call me. Otherwise, I'll try to give you a little space for a couple of days. Thanks, Mom." As hard as it was, I waited 2 whole days before calling Megan. She answered the phone on the 3rd ring. "How's everything going?" "Sweetheart," I said, "I've never been so exhausted in my entire life," she replied. You should have called, I said. "I told you to let me know if you needed me." "It's not that. Jason's parents came over. They're already talking about Christmas. I can barely even think about Thanksgiving. Can't we skip the holidays this year? I'm so tired." "She's not expecting you to do anything for the holidays, is she?" I said. "She wants me to make a list." "A list?" "Yes, a list of toys she can get for Bree." I snorted. "Bree has more toys than she'll ever be able to play with." "That's what I'm talking about," Megan said. "Honestly, Mom, I think the only way Janice knows how to show love is through the money she spends." "Some people are like that," I agreed. "So are you going to give her a list?" "Jason says we have to." I had to bite my tongue to keep from going against anything my son-in-law wanted. "Then I guess you'd better get started. Why don't you, Jason and Bree plan to come over for Thanksgiving?" "Sounds great to me," she said, "especially since we'll be at Jason's parents on Christmas." After I hung up, I told Stan all about Megan's frustrations. "Leave it alone, Beatrice," he warned. "I can't." He lifted one eyebrow, opened his mouth, closed it, and then went back to reading the newspaper. I was glad I didn't have to defend myself or explain my feelings. That afternoon, I went online and researched all the latest things for babies. I was sick of being outdone by Janice and Frank. After looking for hours, I finally found a really cute toy box that converted to a hope chest for when Bree got older. I jotted down all the stores in our area that carried it, and then I tucked the paper into my purse. It felt good knowing what I was getting Bree for Christmas, and it wasn't on sale. Thanksgiving was wonderful and very peaceful. Bree couldn't have been a better baby as she looked into the eyes of each person who held her. Even Stan, who'd been afraid he might break her, gurgled and made funny faces to get her to smile. We had a wonderful time. "My parents said you're welcome to join us at their place for Christmas," Jason said. I glanced over at Sarah, who just stood there staring at the floor, waiting for me to make a decision. The last place I wanted to be for my favorite holiday of the year was at Megan's in-laws. but I was willing to go anywhere to be with my little grandbaby. "We'll be there," I announced. "Ask your mother if there's anything I can bring." Later, Stan shook his head. "I can't believe you accepted. You and Janice can barely be in the same room as each other without showing your fangs, let alone have a peaceful holiday together." "We'll be fine," I said, with a flick of my wrist. On Christmas morning, I pulled out the toy box I purchased for Bree, and Stan just shook his head. "That's rather extravagant for a little baby. Who won't have any idea what's going on, don't you think?" "She'll love it," I said. "Now help me carry this thing to the car. It's too big to wrap, so I'll just stick a bow on it when we get in the car. We need to drop it off at the kid's house on the way to Jason's parents' place." It took both of us to slide it into the back seat of my car. I'd managed to get it into the house by myself the week before, but it had been a major effort to hide it from Stan. I'd been nervous he'd try to talk me into taking it back. Now it was too late. Jason and Megan seemed really excited about the gifts, especially the one we had for Bree. Megan knew right away what it was, and she told me she never thought they'd be able to afford such a nice toy box. "Thanks, Mom," she said as she kissed me before turning to her father. "Dad, this is wonderful." Stan didn't say a word. Instead, he shoved his hands in his pockets. "Well, I told Megan that we needed to leave so we wouldn't be late for the nice dinner Janice was having catered." Janice was gracious as she greeted us. "Dinner is being served buffet style in the dining room," she announced. When it was finally over, Janice directed us into the sunroom at the back of the house. It was the only place we could set up the tree and not have it interfere with anything, she explained. I had to resist the urge to make the sarcastic comment that came to mind. "How lovely," I said instead. "Beneath the tree, she must have had 100 gifts, most of them for Bree," I gasped. "I've been picking up a few things for the baby," she said. "It's nothing." Stan and I sat and watched Megan open one gift after another, each one more expensive and extravagant than the one before. Then Janice handed each of us something. All we'd brought them was a bottle of wine for the dinner. "You shouldn't have," I said. "Oh, but it's Christmas," she explained. "I can't imagine not having something for everyone." That made me squirm. But I opened my gift and made all the right sounds. Stan didn't say more than a couple of words all day. I was really glad when we were able to leave gracefully. "I'll never do that again," Stan said. "What a charade." "I know. Can you believe that woman?" "No," he replied. "And don't start getting any notions of trying to outdo her. I don't think it can be done." "I'll never do that," I said, as my mind started whirling and fast-forwarding to next Christmas. I couldn't let Janice get away without doing me with our granddaughter. All year, I picked up cute little things for Bree. I even wrapped them with Christmas paper I'd bought on sale at the end of the season and tossed them into a closet that I cleaned out and turned into my hiding place for gifts. When Christmas drew near again, Stan said, "I hope you didn't go crazy buying stuff for Bree. This isn't a contest, you know. I've only been to Christmas shopping once, and you were with me," I said. "That's okay, then. One toy and one new outfit is all she needs. She's still a baby, and she doesn't need much." Megan insisted on having the Christmas dinner and gift exchange at their house because she said it was easier to have Bree in her own home. Both Janice and I put up a little resistance, but I understood. After dinner, I told Megan I had Bree's gifts in the trunk. Stan looked at me with a puzzled expression because he'd carried in the box with the gifts he knew about. "Oh, there are just a few more things I picked up over the past year," I explained. Bree squealed with delight as she ripped the paper off the dozens of toys I'd purchased for this moment. Megan's smile faded into a frown as she realized I'd pulled a fast one on her father. I didn't make eye contact with either her or Stan, knowing I'd have to deal with him later. Now it was Janice and Frank's turn to present Bree with their gift. Janice stuck her head in her purse and slowly extracted a long white envelope. "Tickets," she said. "All expenses paid, round trip airfare to Disney World. Oh, and reservations at a 4-star hotel." My heart sank. Nothing could top that, not all the toys in the world. Megan hesitated before accepting the envelope. Thanks, she stuttered. "This is really nice, but Bree's so young." Janice grinned back at her. "Bree will love Disney World. We brought our own kids there when they weren't much older than Bree, and they had the time of their lives." All the way home that day, I grumbled to Stan. I can't believe she pulled that stunt. "What stunt?" Stan said. "All she did was give the kids a trip. I think it's nice." "She's just trying to give them better presents than us." "So," he said, "I don't like it. It's not fair. Bree will always think she can have anything she wants from her grandmother, Janice." He quirked an eyebrow at me. "And you want to see us that way?" "Well," I said slowly, "I don't know. I guess it's not going to do me any good to tell you to stop worrying about it and let them do what they want to do. It's not fair," I repeated. Stan patted my hand and told me everything would be okay. He didn't know what else to say. Jason wasn't able to get off work to go to Disney World until early spring. When they came back, they had dozens of pictures to show. I kept feeling that old stab of frustration that Stan's and my gift was overshadowed. As the year progressed, I watched my beautiful granddaughter grow and develop. She toddled around, following whichever adult held her interest the most. I loved when she came to my house, which was often. As the next Christmas season arrived, I offered to watch Bree while Megan and Jason did a little shopping. They were delighted to take me up on it. "Grandma," she said in her sweet little voice after her parents left, "I want a cookie." "I have a treat for you, sweetheart," I exclaimed. "We're making cookies today." She grinned as she followed me to the kitchen. I had everything all measured out, so I let her dump things into a huge bowl. Then we both dug our hands into the cookie dough and had a wonderful time rolling the dough into little balls and plopping it down on the cookie sheet, some of it making its way to our mouths. We giggled and had a wonderful time. Bree was a little dismayed when I stuck the cookie sheet into the oven. "We have to bake them so they'll be crisp," I told her. She frowned like she didn't believe me. "I want a cookie," she said as she stared at the oven. The aroma of fresh baked cookies filled the kitchen. Bree took a deep breath and sighed. I chuckled, so she giggled and did it again. When the timer dinged, she hopped up and down as I reached for the potholder and pulled out the tray of golden chocolate chip cookies. Bree's eyes were round as saucers as I set the cookie sheet on the counter to cool. When they were ready, I sent her to get her grandfather so we could have milk and cookies together. She came back into the kitchen holding on to his hand, a huge grin on her face. I made cookies, she said proudly. Stan made all the right sounds about what a fabulous cookie maker she was. Bree grinned from ear to ear as she stuffed her little face with as many cookies as I'd let her have. The kitchen was still a mess, so I asked Stan to take her to the living room and read her a story while I cleaned up. Bree went along with him, still grinning and chattering nonstop about cookies. By the time Megan and Jason came to pick her up, she was sound asleep in Stan's arms while he sat and watched TV. They carefully extracted their daughter and carried her to the car. Thanks, Mom, Megan said. We got all our shopping done, thanks to you and Dad. Bree loves coming over here more than anything. It was our pleasure, as always, I said as I kissed her on the cheek. I can hardly wait until the next time. Oh, before I forget, Megan said, we're celebrating Christmas at our house again. It's just easier that way. I had a sense of dread as I remembered the year before. Anything I can bring? Cookies? She said with a giggle. Only if you bring Bree over and let her help me bake them. Megan nodded. She'll love that. On Christmas Eve, Bree and I had a repeat performance, making cookies and having a wonderful time in the kitchen. Megan and Jason picked her up early so she could get plenty of rest before the big celebration. After they left, Stan turned to me. I hope you didn't go crazy with presents this year, he said. I let out a sigh. I didn't. No matter what I do, Janice and Frank will do one better, so I stuck to the one toy, one outfit rule. He hugged me. Good girl. The next day, I packed the car with tins of cookies, gifts for everyone, including Janice and Frank, and a green bean casserole I always made. All the way to Megan and Jason's house, Stan lectured me about how I needed to keep the peace. It was always hard, but as usual, I agreed. Grandma, Bree exclaimed as she ran toward me and threw herself into my arms. I scooped her up, swung her around, and held her close so she could plant a huge kiss on my cheek. When I put her back down, I looked up in time to see Janice scowling from the other side of the room. Merry Christmas, Janice, I said, then turned to her husband and added, Frank. Stan was right behind me with the cardboard box of gifts. Megan had gone out to the car and was right behind him with the tins of cookies. In spite of the tension, we had a nice dinner. Janice had brought fancy rolls from the most expensive bakery in town and flavored butters. She intended, I was sure, to overshadow my green bean casserole. A couple of times when I opened my mouth, I would feel Stan's hand dig into my leg or his foot tap me on the chin. That was his warning for me to behave. After dinner, Janice and I joined Megan in the kitchen to help her clean up. I kept my mouth shut while Janice went on and on about how hard it was to find the perfect gifts for everyone because their gift last year was so hard to top. Don't worry about it, Megan told her. We're just happy to have everyone together to celebrate with Bree. Janice flipped her hand at the wrist. Yeah, but I love to spoil my granddaughter. How else will she know she's loved? I inwardly seethed, but I remembered Stan's warning. My jaw began to ache from clenching it so tightly. After the kitchen was clean, we brought the desserts out to the dining room table. I had the big gangly tins of cookies while Janice made a big deal of presenting her professionally designed Christmas cake with ornate red and green decorations. This isn't just some grocery store bakery cake, she announced. I got it at Chantilly, and they're not cheap. It's very pretty, Megan said. I motioned for Bree to come look at the table. Then I pointed to the cookies and announced, "Bree and I made these cookies yesterday." My granddaughter grinned shyly as she looked at her other grandmother. Janice glanced at me and then turned to Bree. "Very nice, Bree. Would you like some of this yummy cake?" "I want a cookie," Bree said. "Oh, but the cake is so much better," Janice said. "You can have cookies anytime." Suddenly, Bree's chin began to quiver and her eyes misted over. "I want a cookie. I made cookies." Fortunately, Megan had witnessed the whole thing, so she came to the rescue. "Why don't we all splurge and have some of both? It's Christmas. We can be naughty just this once." Janice started to argue, but Jason tugged on her arm and whispered something in her ear. With a frown, Janice nodded. Although the rest of the day was tense, Bree seemed happy. She ripped open the packages one by one and tossed them to the side, including the outfit and toys Stan and I had brought. She didn't seem fazed by the expensive matching gold bracelet and necklace Janice and Frank had given her. And of course, she didn't understand the value of the high-dollar savings bond Janice handed her later. The only thing she seemed interested in was the tin of cookies still on the table. "I made cookies," she said. "I want one." As she nibbled on another cookie, I looked around the room and saw the fascinating dynamics of the family. Bree embraced the simple things in life. Janice and Frank were clueless about what was really important in a family. My husband was satisfied to be himself and let everyone play their part, while I felt guilty for not having been able to compete with my daughter's in-laws. Megan and Jason were sort of caught in the middle of the whole thing, but they were extremely gracious about it. For the first time, I actually pitied Janice and Frank. They really were clueless about what mattered in life. Somehow, Jason seemed to have been unscathed by his upbringing. Megan had once told me that Jason admired Stan and me for our values, and now I saw it as he proudly watched his daughter making a huge mess with the cookies, while his mother continued to scowl in her pretentious manner. As the realization dawned on me, I sank back and allowed the love of family to take over. There was nothing I could do to change Janice and Frank. However, I knew I could change my attitude about things. When it was time to leave, I hopped up and gathered my things. Janice nodded her parting greeting, but I reached over and gave her a hug. She gasped in surprise. "This was a wonderful Christmas," I said, and I meant it. "Thank you all for everything." I looked around at everyone in the room, including my daughter's in-laws. Janice glanced at her husband before turning to me. "Yes, it was rather pleasant, wasn't it?" I nodded. "Very pleasant." Stan didn't say a word until we were halfway home. Finally, he looked over at me and grinned. "I know what happened in there," he said. "What are you talking about? You finally got the true Christmas spirit." He was totally right. The warmth of family and the joy of watching our grandchild experience such a wonderful celebration was much more important than anything anyone could buy. Bree instinctively knew that, which was why she relished baking cookies more than opening gifts. As for Janice, maybe she'll eventually come around. Until then, at least I could enjoy all the blessings in my life and know that the love of family is what it's really all about. Okay, that's the end of that story. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you tuned in late, this is the Romance Program with Volunteer Jeannie Ost for Sun Sounds. I'm going to finish this show, this romance show, with a feature called Love Letter, and it is from True Romance magazine. This one was written by Bruno Bellucci. Here's the love letter. How do you tell your wife of 46 years how much you love her? What words can you use? I adore you. I care for you. I will always love you. Are these words good enough? How can I express the feelings I have in my heart? Patricia has been my wife, girlfriend, advisor, nurse, and business partner. She cared for me through the last 15 years of various illnesses, including double bypass surgery, which resulted in my losing 80% of my vision and kidney trouble. The woman I love distributes all my medication so I can take the correct dosage every day. How do I thank her for that? All I can say is that I love her more each day as our life goes on. When I met her, she was 15 years old and working at Tony's Pizza Shop. I didn't know what to think of her. She wore a yellow uniform and white shoes. I looked at her and realized that I would like to take her out, but I was too shy to ask. So instead, I made it my business to have pizza at least 3 times a week. Finally, I got up the nerve and asked her for a date. She said yes. I was thrilled. She said that I needed to come to her house to meet her mother and father, which scared me to death. If it was any other girl, I would not have done it, but because I wanted to take Patricia out so badly, I agreed. I remember when I went to her house to pick her up, how beautiful and innocent she looked. I wanted to take her in my arms and kiss her right in front of her parents, but I didn't. When we got into the car, she sat close to me, and I loved it. Her perfume was wonderful. I was falling in love. In those days, you took your date to a drive-in movie. I parked the car, but I didn't want to watch the movie. All I wanted to do was kiss her. Still, I didn't want to make a fool of myself, so I backed off. I took her home and asked her for another date, which she accepted. We were a couple of troubled kids when we met. Patricia was 15 and I was 18. I was having trouble at home and had already made plans to join the army to get away. Patricia made me change my plans for a while. I could not get her out of my mind. Still, I could not stand the trouble at home, so I joined the army. Patricia wrote to me every day. She would kiss the envelope and put perfume on the letter. I could hardly wait for mail call. I came home from leave when she turned 16. I asked if she would wait for me. She said yes, and we got engaged. We got married when she was 18, and I was 22. I remember being in the church waiting for her to come down the aisle. I was so nervous. When I saw her coming, I made up my mind that I would be true to her for the rest of my life. We had a beautiful wedding. All of our friends and relatives were there. Even now, 46 years later, though things are really tough, my wonderful Patricia sticks by me. I have 5 beautiful children, Pamela, Annette, Bruno, Diane, and Philip. How can I thank her for giving them to me? Now my children have given us 10 beautiful grandchildren, too. I can't say enough about my wonderful children and grandchildren. They are the loves of my life and always will be. They've come about because of my love for Patricia, who I will carry in my heart until the day I leave this earth. I want to tell Patricia thank you, and that is why I'm writing this. I close with these words. Pat, I love you. Okay, now I'm going to finish with a poem, or maybe two, with this romance program. This poem was written by Jacqueline Schiff, and it's called Kwanzaa Gathering. Here's the poem. At Kwanzaa, we're gathered together as one, united in friendship, in faith, and in fun. We're united in struggle. We're united in love. We're building a future as bright as the sun. All Carranza were gathered, all colors, all faiths, all cultures, all talents, all sizes and shapes. We light seven candles. We sip from the cup. We share in the harvest. We dance to the drums. At Carranza, we're gathered to feast and to sing and to share in the gifts that togetherness brings. Okay, here's another poem to finish the show. This one's also from True Romance Magazine. It was written by Donna Wallace. Here's the poem, A Hero's Christmas. This year, Santa read my list, and he checked it twice. I'm excited because this year he decided I was nice. He's bringing me a special gift from across the shining sea. He's escorting you across the land and safely back to me. Santa must be proud of you. He's seen you protect our land and guard us every night. Sure, we're safe at safe at hand, this year. Santa read my list and he laughed with glee. He's bringing my hero. You're coming back to me. And gosh, I still can't believe I haven't finished this hour. I'm trying to find another poem here. This one is also from True Romance Magazine. It was written by Carol Christman Coach, and it's called Christmas Has Given Me. This Christmas has given me the touch of your hand, the look in your eyes, the tenderness of your kiss, the warmth of your body, the shoulder for tears and laughter for my happiness, the listening of your ears, the joys of our children, the creativeness of my mind, the joys of my letters, the understanding of my ways. This Christmas has given me something very special. You. Okay, well, that is going to do it for this edition of the Romance Program. I've enjoyed reading you and reading the stories and the poems. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great week. This has been Volunteer Jeannie Yost for Sun Sounds. Take care, and I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.